State legislators across the country introduced more than 400 bills to curb an officer's ability to use force. That followed the murder of George Floyd by former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. But a new study from the Washington Post finds that police fatally shot more people than ever last year, 1,055. Advocates continue to demand accountability. Earlier this month, Minnesota Interim Police Chief Amelia Huffman left a fiery press conference about the fatal shooting of Amir Locke.
How is walking out of a press conference transparency? You are a murderer!
You owe us answers.
This is what we have been fighting against. This is what we've been fighting against since George Floyd was killed. Running away from accountability and transparency. This is shame.
Marissa Ayati is one of the Washington Post reporters who's been tracking police shootings, and she joins us now for more. Thanks for being here, Marissa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I have to start with the fact that this was an expected number. Analysts were not surprised that we hit a new record. Can you help me put this in context?
Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive, but the gist of it is that in each of the 7 years that the Post has been tracking fatal shootings, the number has hovered somewhere around 1,000 people each year. The lowest was 958, and now this number, 1,055, is our high. And the fact that the number kind of fluctuates around this 1,000 figure can be explained by this principle of probability theory, which basically says that absent major societal changes, the number of independent rare events will stay relatively the same. And so since this number was within 60 in either direction of 1,000, it's still in the range of what you would expect to see.
Remind me why the Post has to gather and record this information. Why is the Washington Post doing this work and not a law enforcement agency?
I think everyone would love for a law enforcement agency to be doing it with data that is complete and reliable. But the Post started this project in 2015 because there wasn't full and complete tracking by the government of this data. The FBI did launch its own data collection program in 2019, but participation by police is voluntary, and they have gotten relatively low participation. So the program may or may not actually continue. So for now, the Post will continue trying to fill this gap.
So 85% of the people who were killed by police last year were armed. 94% were men. What else is in this data that might be useful?
So 16%, which is, I think, a notable percentage, were killed in a domestic disturbance incident. So someone at home calls police. Maybe there's a dispute going on between people and someone ends up killed by police in that scenario. One of the highest profile, or actually this was a 911 call, which was a similar percentage, but this was Micaiah Bryant in Ohio. She was a foster in the foster care system, and police arrived when she was in a dispute with someone else, had something that appeared to be a knife in her hand and swung at someone else, and she was shot in that scenario. So I think it was kind of surprising and interesting that a meaningful percentage were killed after someone involved or someone in that home or in that location actually called police looking for help.
So have police responded to this data? What do they say about efforts to bring down this? I have to assume that the effort is to bring down the number. Is that not correct?
That's certainly the effort by a lot of advocates who've been agitating for changes to policing and use of force over the past several years. But you know, I think police generally are concerned that that they are in harm's way in some of these scenarios, that they're responding to a threat to their own safety or the safety of other people. They will point to the fact that the vast majority of people shot and killed are armed. And so there's that tension between police saying that they feel threatened and advocates who are saying that there should be other ways to handle these scenarios.
So how is this data useful outside of journalistic endeavors? In other words, has this data been useful to policymakers as they go about making changes to laws?
Yeah, I think understanding who the people who are shot and killed are and in what scenarios they are shot and killed can help us understand ways that we might want to address it. So For example, this past year, about 14% of people shot and killed had known mental health struggles. The number was actually higher in previous years. And I think partly in response to the fact that we know that, we've seen some effort over the past couple of years to embed mental health experts with police on uncertain calls and take some of the responsibility for dealing with people in crisis away from police who probably are not trained or fully trained in responding to that. So I think there are efforts to look at some of these data points and target responses to what we know.
Marissa Ayati is a reporter with The Washington Post. Marissa, thank you so much.
Thank you.